How did you come to this theory that you believe that whatever is out there are more angelic than pure extraterrestrials?
Well, I mean, it starts the way it does with most people, the idea of the biblical miracles being ancient manifestations of modern UFO events. I mean, you start with the basic ancient astronauts kind of biblical take on that. And then you sort of, you have to look at the situation in a little more detail, though. I mean, people who undergo the abduction experience, researchers who research the experience, will always point to the fact that there's so much trauma and fear involved in the experience.
Right.
That it outweighs any you know, religious benefit. But I just don't think that's true. I mean, whenever you encounter God in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, both, you're not encountering a friendly old man. You're encountering this terrifying entity, someone who just scares you to the core. The Apostle Paul, for instance, doesn't call it the fear of the Lord. He calls it the panic of the Lord or the terror of the Lord. So you know, you just sort of take a certain level of traumatic fear as coming with the territory. It's just you know, how God operates. We don't know exactly why he likes the emotion fear, but it's apparently, you know, one of his things.
Well, how do we know it's not demonic instead, then?
I don't know. I just think that when, through my understanding of the scriptures and my understanding of what happens during an abduction experience, I just feel it's angelic first for a lot of different reasons. For instance, the hybrid children, the hybrid alien children, are often thought of as like, you know, the mad scientist end of the spectrum or whatever. But I think there's a passage in Isaiah that sort of addresses the subject. The Lord is saying, who are you to question my handiwork? Who are you to ask, what am I begetting? Who are you to ask, with what am I in travail? These are like birth metaphors. He's talking about the birth of these alien hybrid children. He's doing a new thing, and he doesn't want it criticized. Inner Light Publications put out a book several years ago called The Unpublished Prophecies of Nostradamus. And one of those prophecies opens with the sentences, a new breed descends in gratitude, conflagration in the heavens. And I think that's exactly what the general attitude will be when these hybrid children are eventually brought to dwell with us on the earth. I think the prevailing emotion is going to be gratitude, because we're going to recognize that it's a godly thing. It's a heavenly part of our evolution. We're intended to share the earth with the aliens, with the hybrid children, the whole ball of wax.
Could you be wrong? Is it possible that we are dealing with either demons or pure extraterrestrials and not angelic beings?
Sure. I mean, anybody can be wrong. You can always teach a situation any way you want to. I mean, you can line up facts here and there and teach it any way you want to. I suppose it comes down to personal preference. It comes down to what your mind can assimilate and what your emotional equipment can handle.
I don't think I have ever recall hearing an alien abduction case or interviewing those who claim to have been abducted where they've had a pleasant experience.
Well, that's not entirely true. I think that some pleasant experiences do happen. People feel a sense of wonderful peace. They're shown, for instance, as children, they're shown parts of their destiny as an adult. They're shown that they'll have the tools to fulfill their mission. Betty Andreas and Luca, for instance, is a, you know, deeply fervent Christian woman, and she believes it's angelic. I mean, Raymond Fowler, the main researcher who worked with Betty Andreas and Luca for so many years, he says he doesn't quite understand it, how such a Bible-believing person can see it that way.
Well, you're not alone, though, in that. There are some experts out there who have studied this entire situation, and they, too, believe that they're angelic. Now, some others believe demonic as well, and then you've got that camp of people who believe they're pure physical extraterrestrials from other planets.
Right. Well, that's very much Bud Hopkins' attitude, for instance. He refuses to categorize them as either evil or benevolent, either one. He says, you just can't make that judgment. It's the same thing about people. He was saying you can't really make the black and white judgment about people either. I mean, someone could take you to dinner and treat you well, and you don't suddenly say, well, he's a god. Or somebody could say something rude and hurt your feelings, and you don't suddenly say, well, he's a demon. You know, you have to sort of allow for the same kind of moral complexities in the aliens as you do in human beings.
It is unusual, Sean, that there are so many stories that all have similar traits to it about extraterrestrials. I guess we can conclude, regardless if your theory is correct or all the others, something very strange, something very mystical, something has been going on.
Right. And I think the people who tend to be in the strictly extraterrestrial camp like to time everything from 1947. They say the phenomenon doesn't begin until 1947. It's an alien invasion. It has nothing to do with mankind's history or anything else.
Because of Roswell, Kenneth Arnold?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. They'll admit to having abduction cases that go back to maybe the 30s or so, but they tend to view it as a very recent phenomenon and not as any kind of extension of ancient events. And that's, you know, that may be possible. I mean, you certainly can't prove one case or the other.
I want to get your take on the angelic creatures per se. What do you think they are?
Well, what do you mean? Well, I mean, like they're servants of God. They're carrying out a mission of bringing the chosen ones along.
Where are they, though? In another dimension? In another parallel universe? I mean, they've got to be. If they exist, one day science may prove it. But where might they be if they've always been part of the universe or a widespread series of universes?
Well, I suppose if you take the view that they're angelic, then wherever they are is what heaven is to us. It's what the paradise that we're hopefully building toward in our personal lives and so forth. I mean, there are so many theories about that. Whatever they are, they can enter our dimension in physical terms. There's no doubt about that. They can walk among us. They can look just like us. But defining where that is, I don't think it's possible to do.
But they're not physical, but they can become physical.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
How do they shapeshift like that?
I don't know that one either. I think it's one of their mysteries. I think we have to slowly wait and for all this to be revealed. I mean, they're willing to explain it to us. We just have to be ready to hear what they have to say.
Well, I was going to say, how will we know that your theory is correct?
The passage of time, the fulfillment of the prophets, that kind of thing. I mean, that's what's going to demonstrate any theory being correct.
In any of these alien abductions, Sean, I mean, are these people who have been abducted, are they told things, frightening things about our future?
Some of them are, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a vision from the future type syndrome happening. A very common image they're shown is an image of planet Earth on fire, bursting into flames. And, for instance, in Whitley's book, Transformation, they show him the world bursting into flames, and they say, you know this will happen. Like, once he's been shown that illustration, he's responsible for knowing that in his mind, not forgetting.
Did they explain how it happened?
No, not in that particular vision, but I think, you know, it's pretty obvious. When you're talking about the world being consumed by fire, I think you're pretty obviously looking at a nuclear war there.
Not an asteroid strike?
I don't think so, no. I don't think it's good. An asteroid strike, you know, could be predestined, but it's not really a part of mankind's collective destiny. You know, to partially destroy the planet through warfare, that sounds much more like a realistic fulfillment of human destiny the way it is now.
What kind of time frame are we talking about, Sean?
Oh, I don't know. I've been asked that question before. I mean, like, I thought it was going to happen 20 years ago. So you may not even have it in my lifetime, really.
It could be 1,000 years from now.